Hey, this is Tom Atkins. If you want to thrill me, you got to listen to The Horror Returns.
Greetings, victims. For those of you who delight in dread, who fantasize about fear, who glorify gore, welcome. You have found the place where the horror returns. Listeners, beware. This podcast contains major plot spoilers and the foulest of language. Join us in celebrating the old and the new, the best and the worst in horror.
All right, welcome back, one and all, to The Horror Returns. I'm Lance, and with me, as always, my co-host Brian and Philip. And tonight's one of those great Patreon pick shows that we love to do, because you never know what three movies we're going to get. Brian, I noticed you were pretty sneaky about managing to move Nez's picks back. Was that by design or just bad timing?
You got to talk to him. Bad timing on his part.
Ah, okay.
Can't do his picks without him.
This
he
is true.
He picked dumb shit, didn't he?
They're not dumb to him.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they're all tens, right?
We'll see.
All right. Well, Zim Vader, this tonight is your night, man. But before we jump into the show, you sent us some links to a couple of videos. There was one there, I think it's called Ghost of a Zombie, that the costumes, I was worried were going to get a little problematic there for a minute, but you guys certainly had a sense of humor at the end there. Sweating your balls off in those, were you?
Yeah, there was no air circulation in that room. It was way too hot to be trying to achieve what
right?
we did. We survived, had fun. No good.
Gotcha. Well, who were the kids? Who were the kids in the one video? Was that y'all's kids or?
No, that was the fuck machine video. They were kids of a friend of ours. Sort of had the idea to sort of try and do the, us playing now and us playing when we were kids sort of thing. We just had a friend who had kids around that age, and she was like, yeah, they'd love to do it. So okay,
well.
They enjoyed being and had to say fuck for a day. They were
sure
under strict instructions from their mother. They're like, mm-hmm. you're allowed to say fuck today, but that's it. Once we leave here, you're not allowed to say it anymore.
So. Oh, I'm sure they never will. That's what happens.
But, yeah, it was fun.
That's the end result of being a fuck machine, kids.
Yes, and I just had my second kid. In the last couple of weeks, so it's
nice.
Congratulations.
Exciting times. It's been a long process. My wife's water broke the night that we last spoke for the Jaws show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And water broke. She was too early, so it was about a month of hospitals, and
yes.
It's finally here and with us. Baby Gage.
Nice. Where did that name come from?
A certain king gave us the idea.
I had a feeling that might be the case. So what do you guys have coming up now? Do you guys doing any gigs, or did COVID put everything back? Or
COVID put everything back, and the birth of our first child, and now having another one sort of slowed me down a little bit.
Right.
But we just released the vinyl record, and hoping to probably by the end of the year release the DVD with all our music videos. Just wanted to get a couple more finished to go onto that. We just released a new one last night. you might notice a theme here, but the new videos for a song called Fuck. And you can find that on the Facebook page. Unfortunately, YouTube's flagged it already and said that you must be 18 to watch this. And I lodged an appeal, but they got back to me this morning and said, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but yeah, your appeal was denied. So unfortunately, if you want to watch it, you gotta sign in and prove that you're 18.
Gotcha. Yeah, I used to be a pretty big punk fan when I was in high school, so I like the sound. You guys aren't really straight ahead though, punk. You're a little bit you're not quite as nihilistic, I don't think. Seems like it's a little bit more of a beat to it than just thrashing, you know?
Yeah, we're not like, you know, we like the punk feel, but we're not really locking ourselves into trying to sound like any one thing. It's just, you know, this is the song we want to do. We do it. It's just fun. Just doing what we do.
All right. Next up, a Men at Work cover album, right?
We'll see. Maybe just for you.
All right. Nice.
A cover of Men Down Under sounds pretty good. Or A Land Down Under. There it is.
Whoa, Philip, that's a whole different song.
Well, we could do our own version, which could be Men Down Under. Yeah.
All right. Well, cool of the week, man. You're our guest. You get the spot of honor to go first.
Well, I got a cool of the week and I got a very cool of the week. So my very cool of the week is getting to watch the Pet Sematary remake with my new son, Gage.
Brian.
I hadn't seen it before, and yeah, I was on board. I'd heard only bad things, so my expectations were low. But I must say, sitting and watching Pet Sematary with my son Gage, I did not see the twist coming when the truck missed him and hit the little girl.
Well, you obviously didn't see the trailer then.
I didn't. I've since checked out the trailer, and I'm so glad that I didn't know that, because that was awesome. And I was worried about that bit, because, you know, having a new child named Gage and knowing what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
When it didn't go to plan and the truck missed him and hit the little girl, I was cheering. So yeah, I was sold on that. But my other call of the week, I finished a Australian TV series, Mr. In Between. It's
it's about a 30-minute episodes, right?
Yeah, it's a very easy watch. It's like there's only three seasons and it's all completed, and seasons are quite short. I think they're, you know, 7-8 episode seasons, and yeah, the episodes are only about 20-25 minutes each, so it's a pretty easy watch. It's one of those things you can sort of knock out pretty quick, and yeah, quite enjoyed it. It's one of the best things I think to come out of Australia for a while
since Biz 2, huh?
Since Biz 2 and Wolf Creek 2.
All right. I'm going to mark you down for Pet Sematary Remake. You hear that, Brian?
Weren't a fan?
We're starting a fan club. Well, I'll jump in because I got pretty
much.
Still trudging through Supernatural. I'm on the final season.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get through it so I can catch up with some other stuff. And I watched about half of the newest episode of House of the Dragon. The one before it was supremely uncomfortable, but still a good show, man. I was worried that, you know, the characters wouldn't have the same development. And we seem to be getting stuck with them. And one of the best pieces of advice I heard was, you know, let's wait to name our kids after the characters from the show until it's over. You never know what's going to happen.
Wait and see where the story arc goes. Huh?
Yeah.
So House of the Dragon.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be my cool of the week for a while.
Okay. Brian, you want me to jump in and get it over with?
Sure.
Mine's simple. Just the beach. I don't mean the Leonardo DiCaprio movie. I mean the beach.
Oh.
My wife and I went there for a week and got away from everything. She wouldn't let me dip. Shit, dude. It was like, I'm sure she's not watching me. It was like pulling teeth to get her to sit through Creep with me.
I said, beach.
But that was, I think, actually Creep was the only movie I got in for the whole week while I was out there. I did some reading. I finished Project Hail Mary, and I've gotten through the new Stephen King book, Fairy Tale.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Fairy Tale will be the clue of the week. I'll do a book second week in a row. It's if you know Stephen King, there's lots of Easter eggs in there. Zam, have you read all of his stuff pretty much?
No, I think I've seen every movie, and I've read probably
okay.
Half a dozen books.
It's got a lot of them.
He managed to throw a couple dozen Easter eggs in there as he always does.
My favorite of his books is Rose Matter, and that's one of the only ones I know that still hasn't been made into a movie. So
disappointed. I thought that they were working on that. Brian, didn't you say one time, or am I thinking of something different? I could have sworn you said that during the news one week they were working on that.
They're working on everything. You never know.
All right.
A lot of projects that may or may not come out.
I'll throw the brand new Stephen King book out. It's only been out for like a week. So this is one time I actually jumped all over it.
All right.
Brian, I haven't heard. Brian, dude, is it my imagination, or have I not heard an Amityville review in a while?
I've been busy, man. Busy. Life. Life is...
Life gets in the way, doesn't it?
Yeah. No Amityville, no action, no Stream Fiends. Just had a lot on my plate lately. Looking through here, I had to go all the way back to Saturday when I actually watched something new. First, I checked out... I saw it streaming on HBO Max, Moonfall. The new Roland Emmerich disaster movie.
That's your cool of the week, Brian. Come on.
You can
do better than that.
It wasn't bad. It was just... Okay.
I'll take your word for it.
It was a little light on the disaster. Well, you got to watch stuff to find out how bad or good first.
Well, don't they have one out, an Asylum one called Moon Crash or something like that?
I'm sure Asylum does a lot of stuff. Moonfall, it was a little light on the disaster stuff, because when you watch Roland Emmerich stuff, that's pretty much what you want to see, his bread and butter. And it was kind of, they try to mix a little sci-fi in there with it. And I thought it was a good attempt to try to be different with the whole disaster angle, but it just, they didn't stick the landing. And I kind of not saying it was like the movie, but it kind of reminded me of Geostorm, where we were kind of expecting to see some destruction, and we didn't really get it. We didn't get the Geostorm and Geostorm.
Right.
So. They talked about it. Those fucking movies blend together for me, man.
They talked like, about right, it.
Which seven of them have The Rock in it?
Yeah.
Shit. I guess my cool of the week, I'll have to go with... It's streaming on VOD now, Fall.
I
think Nez talked about this over on E Society.
Yeah, he did, and Jim Law talked about it on BingeCast this week, man. This is the big movie this week, Brian.
Yeah, there was a couple of times in it where it was clear that they were in front of a green screen. But right. Then there was a lot of times where, because it's essentially two girls that climb up a tower that's like thousands of feet in the air, and something happens, they get stuck there, and pretty simple basic story. But I will admit there was times where I can tell if I saw this in a movie theater, I'd probably feel a little bit funny, because just the height they were at was kind of terrifying.
Oh man.
And there was a little twist in there that I appreciate okay. they did that I didn't really see coming, and it was a decent movie. I recommend it. If it's still in the theater, it definitely works better on the big screen than on your TV. But I will warn you, there was a couple times I was like, okay, you're standing in front of a green screen. I see it, right?
Well.
But then there was other times the shots looked really amazing, especially like mm-hmm. wide angles of the tower and them on top of it. I'm just like, I couldn't even imagine fucking just being even that high on purpose. So.
Right. And it was, one of them's like an Instagram star or something, right?
Yeah, the one of the girls, like, they're all climbers, but you know,
okay.
Basic story, something happens to one of them to make them not want to climb, and then the other one, who's like the influencer,
right,
talks her into climbing this thing that's never been climbed before, or at least by anybody that documents it on social media, and then they climb up there, and then something happens, and they got to figure out how to get down, and
kind of like Frozen, not the Disney Frozen, but the Adam Green Frozen,
the good Frozen.
The ski lift. Is there
yeah, kind of like that, except I would Frozen definitely is more believable to me.
Okay,
because they're go ahead.
Is this this thing they climb, is this an actual thing that exists in the world, or is this a thing created for the movie?
I know there's towers like this, but just how high it seemed, I'm just like, there's no way there's a fucking tower that high with the fucking ladder that people right. climb up there to do. I have no idea what happens on this tower.
Like a cell tower or something?
Yeah, it has like little dishes uh-huh. on there, yeah. And I'm just like,
oh man,
there's still the point where you climb past that, and I'm just
what
like,
what
is this tower for?
Sounds like staircase to the moon. Elon Musk would build just because he can, you know.
It's perfect for. I know you guys seen like them pictures people take where they hang off the side and they don't have nothing holding them and they're just holding on by their hand, taking a selfie. It's yeah. like oh, one of those perfect things thank for you. Those kind of people.
Yeah. Ouch.
So. We're going to build Christ. A tower to Mars. It will be fantastic.
But yeah, I would have to go with Fall. I think I watched this like after we got done recording, Phil, and I haven't seen really anything since then. So.
That was it. Okay. Sounds like a lot of us have been negligent being able to have time to get anything done. But all right. So that's cool of the week. I'm going to check that one. Is that one on Shudder, Brian, or not yet on Shudder?
It's out there.
Gotcha. Okay. Understood. All right, man. Well, look, I know last week you were saying you didn't have a whole lot of headlines except for like cancellations and date changes. Is there, you talked about some Disney stuff, I think, but is there anything else out there, Brian, in the world of news?
Ooh, news. No, I'm not really seeing. You will be able to see Terrifier 2. I know it got expanded to a lot more theaters. I know I'm getting it up here on the October 6th, I believe. I know I'm getting it up here, so I'm pretty sure you guys are getting it.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Good Halloween movie.
Reviews coming out about Pearl, the prequel to X. Reviews have been good. Before the movie dropped, they dropped a teaser for the third movie, Maxine.
Oh, God.
Which this takes place okay. after. I guess these were all filmed like right around the same time. We know Pearl was filmed at the same time as X, and I think they filmed right. Maxine right after, which will take place after X and set okay. in the 80s. And the teaser, I don't know if you guys seen the teaser, but it's just basically like kind of like a drone okay. shot of the Hollywood Hills and, you know, the Hollywood sign, except Hollywood, it says Maxine. Of course, Maxine with three X's. So
they made it big in the porno world.
That's what I'm assuming. And the way the trailer looked, it looked very kind of VHS kind of, which kind of I like what they're doing, because I heard Pearl is kind of shot differently than X was, and they said Maxine's going to have also a different feel to it, and that makes sense being in, you know, different time areas. So
nice. All right, cool, man.
I don't know. I know. Don't Worry, Darling. We're going to review that next week. That's not getting great reviews.
Uh-oh. Well, and then allegedly people spitting on other actors at award shows and stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
I guess.
Allegedly.
It kind of looked like he spit on him.
I don't know, man. I couldn't tell. What did Chris Pine say? Did he have an answer to it? Or?
Well, they said it didn't happen.
Okay.
You got a movie about to come out, you know.
Right.
Sure, if he did and it happened, then they'll say something after. But I don't know. It kind of looked like he reached to shake his hand and got spit on instead.
I'm sure that's happened at more than one Bistou concert.
who got spit on?
Just a guess.
Harry Styles.
Yeah, was it Chris Pine was sitting there and Harry Styles was coming out on stage and Chris Pine reached out to shake his hand and it kind of looked like Harry Styles spit on him. And then sat down next to him.
Well.
And Chris Pine just had this look on his face, like, that's why I think it happened, because he had a look on his face like, did I just get spit on?
I saw a little interview where they were talking about the movie and, like, you know, one of those little press junkets or whatever. And Harry was just mumbling on about some shit that didn't even make sense. And Chris Pine just looked like he could not contain himself. He's like, why am I sitting next to this moron?
it kind of makes me interested in the movie, because I heard there was a lot going on behind the scenes making this movie. So I want to see what the end product was, because
it sounds like that's when Olivia Wilde got her stuff on.
Yeah. Did she go wild?
That's when she broke up her marriage.
Uh-oh.
Let's see. They officially announced a Constantine 2 with Keanu Reeves coming back.
Oh. Okay.
Is going to be in the DC universe or whatever, the Morbius verse?
If it's a sequel to the
Venomverse.
The Morbius. I almost watched it.
Maybe we should just pretend like that one didn't happen.
I almost watched it. It's on Netflix, but then I just looked for something else to watch.
Yeah, it was as bad as everybody said it was.
Did you see it, Zim?
Nah, I haven't yet. It doesn't sound like I'm missing too much. So.
Sound like none of us. No.
I wouldn't worry about it.
I know there's some news out that probably wasn't even big. I didn't even write it in my notes. The Sam Raimi produced sci-fi thriller 65.
Okay.
Gets new writers and a new release date. Which is going to be, sorry, everybody.
We'll be there. You said Sam Raimi, right?
Sam Raimi produced.
James Wan is.
They got us again.
March 10th, 2023. Okay. And the writers of A Quiet Place is writing it. And this will star Adam Driver and Chloe Coleman. I don't know who that is, but we know who Adam Driver is.
He's pretty good.
And
zombie movie.
Yeah, I'm not gonna blame that on him. There was a lot of good people in that movie that kind of sucked.
Bill fucking Murray for one, right?
Yeah.
I don't even think Bill Murray read the script.
Probably not.
There was a bunch of release changes and stuff that got pulled, but I'm not gonna go through that whole thing again. We went through that the past couple of years, so
You guys went on at least one Batgirl tangent last week, so let's avoid that.
Yeah, which I'm still, if anybody knows, tell me how this tax thing works. How do you make a $90 million movie and then shelve it and then save?
Mr. Trump, I mean, sorry. We don't like to be divisive on the show. I'm sure there's ways to do it.
Oh, he probably knows.
It's the art of the deal.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's it. There was a new trailer for Dahmer, which I didn't put that on the list. starring, actually, it's a limited series starring Evan Peters as Jeffrey Dahmer.
Okay. That's the Netflix one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll watch that.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
Yeah, sorry guys. I thought there would be a little bit more news. But...
It's all good, man. It's all good because you know where we're going to go now?
Trailer park.
Zim, you ready to take a little trip?
Yeah, let's go to the trailer park.
All right, Brian. It's all flooded. The floating trailer park. Waterworld trailer park. Brian is going to bring us the big, the small, and sometimes the very, very weird. Brian, what's our first new trailer to talk about this week?
Well, we already talked a little bit about Stephen King, so I guess we should just start with the new Stephen King Netflix movie, Mr. Harrigan's Phone. Synopsis goes, when Mr. Harrigan dies, the teen who befriended and did odd jobs for him puts his smartphone in his pocket before burial, and when the lonely youth leaves his dead friend a message, he is, sorry, this looks like a lengthy, his dead friend a message, he is shocked to get a return text. This stars Bill from It.
That's where he's from.
There you go. That's who it is. Okay. Okay.
Sure, he has a name. Jaden Martell is his name. Donald Sutherland.
Oh, yes.
Kirby Howell Baptiste and a bunch of other people. I am kind of out on this. The trailer.
Oh, come on.
Trailer looked kind of, I don't know. Put the phone in his thing and then Donald Sutherland calls back and he's having this old dead man beat up his bullies and I don't know, it just kind of feels a little I kept hearing they were making this movie and a lot of people were kind of excited, so that got me excited, and then when I just saw the trailer I like Donald Sutherland and I like Bill. I think he's a pretty good actor, the kid that plays him, and I think playing this kind of meek bully kid, I think he's gonna knock it out the park with that part. But I don't know, I just wasn't buying the whole Mr. Harrigan's phone. Was it a cell phone in the book?
Yeah, it was he got him the very first Apple phone. Mr. Harrigan was very old school, right? All he would do is he had a newspaper subscription. He would read the paper to the boy every morning and stuff like that. They'd sit around having their orange juice and coffee and reading the newspaper. And he said, man, you got to get up with the times. And so he bought him an iPhone. So it was, I guess the year it was set was the year the first iPhone came out. It's, you know, Brian, it's one of those that read incredibly fun as a novella, but I can't really see it being made into a believable movie. It's one that Stephen King's writing, you know, really shone through. It was an interesting and fast read for me, but I don't see it being made into a great movie, quite frankly. It pretty much is exactly what the trailer shows you, and not much more.
I've got high hopes for this one.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be worth a watch. and it's going to be free, right? Is it on Netflix or something like that?
Yep, Netflix.
Yeah. Okay.
I want a charging port in my coffin.
Yeah, there you go.
Just in case.
Just in case.
All right. Okay. This is directed by John Lee Hancock. and he has directed The Founder, The Highwaymen, The Little Things with Denzel, and I like that one.
I was disappointed. I expected more.
They all can't be Pet Sematary.
That's true. That is true. I'll give you that one.
He's done some good stuff.
Denzel's hit or miss, man. He's got some stinkers.
Right. I don't think this was his fault, though. I just thought it was. I love Slow Burn, but to me, it was too boring. But yeah, teach their own.
Yeah, the director's done some good stuff. He's written some good stuff, so I'll definitely give it a chance because we got 31 days coming up, and
all right.
I do all my 31 is I do all new releases, so
yeah. I'm thinking about doing 62 this year, Brian.
Good luck.
Well, I'm thinking about doing one 2022 movie and one older classic movie each day.
Okay.
If you can do it, I gave up doing those.
Did
you? Starting up doing 31.
Okay. Let me give it a shot. What do you think, Zim? Do you normally do a 31 days in October?
If you want to talk about it for 31 films, I'll definitely give it a listen. If you do 62, I'll definitely give that a go too. And as far as watching them, it'd be very difficult to find time at the moment to watch 31 films, but hey, I'll give it a try. Still a bunch on Shudder that I haven't got around to checking out. So
same here. Yeah, they're like right there, just ripe for the watching. I just haven't watched them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually the next couple of weeks won't be hearing no new horror releases from me. I'm loading up right. My 31.
Okay, makes sense.
But Mr. Harrington's phone, October 5th.
There you go.
Netflix. Next is coming to Shudder, I believe, next month, October. I think it's on our schedule. And that's VHS 99. This actually.
Like I've been talking about this one since 99.
This actually has a synopsis. Synopsis goes: witness a hellish vision of 1999 as social isolation, analog technology, and disturbing home videos fuse into a nightmare of found footage savagery.
The bad guy's Prince.
This will be directed by Flying Lotus. So that one has me worried.
Flying Lotus.
He directed that movie I will not finish watching that the Black Saint watched. Go back and listen to that episode.
Okay. All right. Flying Lotus. All right. Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. I just can't remember the... Okay.
Other directors are Maggie Levine, Tyler McIntyre, Johannes Roberts, which I recognize that name, Joseph Winter, and Vanessa Winter.
Hmm. All right.
I'm in. I mean, the teaser didn't really give you much, just a little quick little snips. But I've enjoyed all the VHS movies, even the one people probably say is not so great, right, which is VHS Viral. I still find them entertaining. I like when they find these directors and then give them a chance to do what they do. And I always find it very creative what they do with these little short films.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take it. It's anthology, right? How bad can it be? Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Zim? Some will be good and some will be bad, no doubt, right?
Yeah, that seems to be the trend, but I'm kind of over the found footage thing at the moment.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I love VHS1. I thought that was, well, obviously some better than others, like you said. Same with VHS2, but then I can't remember what else. There's a couple other found footage films that I saw around the same time, and I just right, haven't been able to shake that feeling yet. But
yeah, some
maybe when this comes out, I'll give it a crack.
All right, Lance, what you think?
I'm all in, man. I'm same as you, Brian. I've enjoyed all the VHS films, and if you don't like one, you know, wait 5 to 10 minutes, and kind of like Texas weather, it'll change. So yeah. You know,
that's good.
Why not? Why not? I'm all in. 1999 was my favorite year to be alive. I loved all that Y2K fear and panic. I loved most of the movies that came out that year. There's a couple of stinkers, but
you think there's gonna be a Y2K inspired video?
Considering there's the old lady with the 2000 on the wearing the little, you know, year 2000. Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of new, and that weren't they even like playing like a New Year's song or something like that? So yeah. I'm sure they're going to, that'll probably be the wraparound, Brian. That will be the wraparound. It'll be everybody counting down. They'll be watching Australia first, right? Because that's who hits midnight first. Yeah. And they're like, woo, all the lights stayed on. None of the nukes went off.
I think I just realized I think I missed the point of that trailer. That woman with the 2000 on her glasses.
Right.
I think you're 100% right, but I saw that as, fuck, there's a woman turning 2000. This is
kind of, for fuck's sake, man. It could be.
But yeah, I think that you're talking about being set in 99 and she's wearing 2000 glasses. I think there's more chance of you being right, but you know, hopefully one day they make this 2000-year-old woman movie.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Maybe not be this one.
Could be a play on things.
Right.
It could be turning 2000 when it turns 2000.
Yeah. So. Every decade or so there's some new thing that's gonna end the world.
Absolutely.
All right. VHS 99 will stream on Shudder October 20th.
Very nice. That's got to be one for the 31 days.
October 20th next year for Australians.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you guys that's get right.
Stuff late.
they always fuck us on Shudder. I still don't have the Reef 2.
You're okay.
I don't think you
need. We just got Alligator 2 last year. So it's,
Jesus Christ. Did you just get Jaws 2?
All right, that was the last trailer.
All right, on to listener feedback. This week the podcast spotlight shines on Resident Awful is a horror movie podcast. Dan and Cindy sit down every week and discuss one of the best or one of the worst horror movies around. So definitely check them out. Resident Awful. That's another good name, man. I like it.
Yeah, I listened to their episode on The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Very shocking opinions from one of the hosts.
Really?
Yes, very, very. Oh, two different views on that episode about the Exorcist. And one, respectfully, I don't agree with. But, you know, everybody has their own opinion.
The greatest horror movie of all time ever.
Spoiler, it was the opposite of that.
Well, it's mine. Let's see. And since we're covering three films tonight, we're going to skip some feedback, but it shall return next week. Plus, we got Zinvader on the show, so...
He is feedback. All the feedback.
Live feedback.
Our show intro and all of our new t-shirt designs come from our buddy Steve Carlton from The Geeks. And be on lookout for more great stuff from Steve. Our artwork comes from Natsulani, so check her out on Instagram. And if you'd like to help us out, please consider becoming a Patreon patron. I'll let you pick the movies for a future show at any amount. And for $5 or more a month, also pick a commentary for a future bonus show. And if you ever have a chance, please give us a 5-star Apple Podcast review. It definitely helps, and we would appreciate it a lot. All right. On to our featured attractions. They've changed slightly, so pay attention. This week, we pay our respects to the man, Zim Vader, with his picks, Bruiser. It was supposed to be the Barber, but we changed it to a Clockwork Orange, and Creep.
I will have something to say about the Barber next week. I did locate okay. it. I will watch it.
I wish I could have found it, dude. I was ready to buy it. I couldn't even find a DVD or anything. So
yeah, some of those movies kind of get lost in the void. But A Clockwork Orange is on Netflix right now.
Yeah, surprisingly.
And Max, I think.
Mm-hmm.
1971. In the future, a sadistic gang leader is imprisoned and volunteers for a conduct aversion experiment, but it doesn't go as planned. Director and writer is Stanley Kubrick, also known for The Shining and Eyes Wide Shut and many other awesome movies, possibly The Moon Landing. The doctor standing over Alex is, as he's being forced to watch violent films, was a real doctor.
That was nice.
Ensuring that Malcolm McDowell's eyes didn't dry up. I would hope so. That looks like a shitty scene to do. According to Malcolm McDowell, the sped up sex scene was originally filmed as an unbroken take lasting 28 minutes.
Yeah. He's letting all you ladies know he can last 28 minutes.
During the filming of the Ludovico scene, star Malcolm McDowell scratched one of his corneas and was temporarily blinded.
So it wasn't a very good doctor, is what you're saying.
Well, you could see when they were putting those fucking things in there. I was like, oh my God. he also suffered some cracked ribs during the filming of the Humiliation stage show.
Aye.
All right. A Clockwork Orange. I know Lance said you said you were going to pass it on, but I'm going to let you start it because it's one of your tens, right?
This is my favorite film of all time, bar none. Kubrick is my favorite director of all time, and this is his masterpiece. I think that the story is written wonderfully from start to finish. I've read the book. He kept close enough to the book that I don't think he would have pissed off Anthony Burgess the way he pissed off Stephen King with The Shining. So he didn't go in there and fuck too much with the storyline. There's a few things at the end that are a bit different, but
I know there's some things near the beginning that he changed.
Yeah, I think the way that they opened it with the score and being in the milk bar and just kind of like the close up shot of the eye and stuff like that was just one of the most masterful ways to open a movie that I've ever seen in my life. It's like the music, the visuals, everything else came together perfectly. It was like just weird enough. Like it looked just enough like 1971 that you kind of felt like you could relate to it, but it looked enough futuristic that it was completely different. The way that they were serving the milk out of the women's teats in the bar and stuff like that, I thought was a nice touch. When you get to the beginning parts, you know it's going to be a fun movie when he meets Billy Boy and his droogies in the old decrepit theater, and they're just having a go at that poor that poor girl that can't get away.
And the old linen now, they say.
Okay, yeah, that's one of the things they actually changed from the book that I found out. Like, the girl was actually, like, 10 years old.
10 years old? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Would have been a completely different scene, which probably would not have made it. As it is, the movie got an X rating, which certainly today it wouldn't. But
he killed the lady with a giant penis.
That was, yeah, see, that's what I love about this movie, dude. It's like you could talk about this film for hours because you've got all these artistic little touches, and I don't think there's a single mistake. I don't think there's a single frame that Kubrick didn't mean to have in there. That sped up sex scene with the music that went with it was, I thought, perfect. I thought that the fact that you had things that, it was really weird, man, because it was like being in 1971, but it was also like being in like maybe the year 2200 or something like that, where things are completely broken down. It's almost like when Burgess wrote the novel, he kind of knew what was coming because there's a lot of this stuff, like especially in the UK. I know you have a lot of kids that are raised in that culture where they're kind of like on the dole. And their parents don't work and they're deadbeats. Of course, we have plenty of that here in America, too. I'm sure they do in Australia as well. But that culture, you know, obviously is not good for the mind of a young man who has time to kill and evil thoughts on his mind. Now, Nez and I did a whole 2-hour show on this movie. So I want everybody to go back and listen to that. That's why I'm not going to say as much tonight. But Nez and I differed on one thing. Nez thinks that Alex was pure evil. Maybe this is a character fault of mine, but I could really relate to Alex from beginning to end. I thought his story arc was phenomenal. I think it was the movie has a lot to say about crime and punishment and what's, you know, because we have these things in America where we say no cruel and unusual punishment. And yet, you know, if you were to visit our jail, as Philip, you could tell us, you've actually worked in a jail, in a prison before, right? Not a jail, but an actual prison. There's things that go on in there that are cruel and unusual, and people are turning a blind eye, am I right?
Yeah, not usually from the guards so much anymore. I'm pretty sure it used to be that way. They used to beat the fuck out of them, but right? Yeah, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, the prisoners have to worry about each other, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, that's one of the big incentives not to get in trouble and go to jail is because that old joke about don't drop the soap, right?
Yep, exactly.
So it's like escape from New York on a smaller scale, but...
those guys are animals.
I will say, yeah, it's a strange Lord of the Flies type setup where it's very systemic, I'm sure. And very purposeful that it's that way. But I don't know. I would say that this story arc to me is one of the most classic story arcs of any film that I've seen in my life because of where he is when you start with a movie, where Alex goes as he actually he's not used to being a victim. He's used to being the aggressor. Now, all of a sudden, he's a victim. How is he going to act? So he kind of wheedles and cajoles his way, as he thinks, into this really super easy program that's going to get him out and get him an easy ride. And, you know, it ends up making him even more of a victim, which is, you know, quite a journey for him. And then at the end, that very last scene, you've got to wonder, is he back to his old self or did he ever really change at all? It has a lot to say. I'm a huge fan of this movie. My favorite film of all time. This even for me beats out Jaws and The Exorcist. This beats out The Matrix. This beats out Mother. That's probably my Mount Rushmore, and this is firmly on top. So I would really love to hear what you guys have to say about it.
Zim, you chose the movie. What did you think about it?
I think it's fascinating. it's. I thought it was fascinating. Rewatching it made me realize just how well told the story is. The dialogue, the language, the way it's all delivered, just had me mesmerized. And had me talking like that the next day, which my wife probably wasn't too fond of. Probably got a little annoying, yes, I think.
right.
She watched a little bit of it with me, and she was convinced it was a comedy.
Oh, God.
There's so much about it that's... I'm not sure whether it's intended, but, you know, it does give a bit of a chuckle, and McDowell's great. Since this movie, I've often tried to scope out other movies of his, like The Barber, for example. But nothing comes close. I think this is by far the best thing he's done. The music in it, I think it's probably the best use of music in any film.
Yeah.
Just the way I can't really put into words, but just every time songs are played, it's so perfect.
And that's coming from a musician.
So many iconic. Yeah, well, I'd love our stuff to be in a movie one day. So if anyone listening wants to make a movie and stick this two stuff in it, please do. And if you can come anywhere near as good as how well Clockwork Orange did with their use of music, then you've done well. And, but the other thing I noticed with it is there's so many iconic scenes in it. Like the theater scene stands out, but just watching it, there were so many things I'd forgotten about that when watching it, I think surely I've seen something else parody this at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always knew that there was aspects of it that they parodied, but watching it, there was just so much of it that, yeah, that sort of influenced the parody of a lot of things, and that's come since. But the highlight of it, did the Star Wars nerds spot David Prowse?
Oh, yeah, Darth Vader himself.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize that till the end. Yeah, that was all the credits.
You knew that was him, didn't you, Brian? The,
mm-hmm.
the big beefy guy that was helping out the old man at the end there?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was not James Earl Jones.
Yeah. Something's a little off.
The credits came up and it's David Prowse. What the
Right.
Fuck. And I got to, yeah. So I had to do a bit of a rewatch of the back half and, like, yeah.
That guy had some little bitty pants on. There wasn't a whole lot of clothes in this movie.
Not for him, no.
Brian, what'd you think?
This is a perfect example of excellent directing and excellent acting. Just the way the story was told, the way it was shot. Malcolm McDowell, after watching this, I started digging in some more trivia, like the whole Singing in the Rain thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ad lib. He came up with that on the spot. I guess they were filming the scene and Kubrick just wasn't liking how it was going, and then he told Malcolm to sing something. He said that's the only song that he can think of that he knew all the words to.
Huh.
And Stanley was like, we're going to go with that one right there.
Okay.
And I like the background on the making of this, the friendship that they formed making this.
Mm-hmm.
They really like Malcolm, but he also put a lot of input into the character and the way he spoke. He wanted to use his original accent to be different from the other droogs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a bit more proper English than, you know, like the Cockney or the...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And another little bit of trivia I thought was funny, the snake that's in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was Kubrick's idea because Malcolm McDowell has a fear of reptiles. So,
Kubrick is sick man.
Sadistic bastard, huh? Yeah.
But Lance, I have to disagree with you, man. He is evil personified.
Through and through. Well, you agree with Nez then, so.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm outvoted there's on that one so
nothing
far.
Redeeming about him.
Oh, come on, man. He's just having a spot of fun. Come on now. What's wrong with beating up an old wino? What's up with beating up an old wino that's singing an Irish folk song in the gutter? Come on.
Okay, I'll give you that.
It's just fun.
When you start with a little bit of the in-out with women that don't want it.
Yeah, then, that's a problem.
Is that a problem?
Once you hit like rape and murder,
yeah.
Maybe we ought to lock that guy up.
And his whole
see the light of day.
His whole religious turn in prison was clearly he's sitting there reading the Bible while he's daydreaming being a Roman, you know, killing people,
lashing and, Jesus. Yeah. He's actually one of the Romans that's like leading Jesus to the cross.
Yeah. And smiling about it.
Absolutely.
And he'd rather go back to prison than to have his beloved Beethoven taken away.
Absolutely. Can you blame him?
I'm not staying in prison for a piece of music.
The old Ludwig von, huh?
The way them other guys were looking at him, he was about to get the old in out.
He was licking his chops, huh? Getting the smoochy.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, if anybody watches this, really look at how the making was, because a lot went into it. They even when they didn't have money, they improvised with using, they didn't have a dolly, so they used a wheelchair, you know, for certain camera angles, you know, all kinds of stuff. The weird droog outfit with the
The cod piece?
Yeah, that was that came from I guess Malcolm McDowell showed up in his what do they play over there? Cricket? No, rugby or cricket? Yeah. One of them.
And I guess he was don't understand cricket.
Yeah, he was changing into his costume, and then I guess they had the idea of wearing it on the outside.
Sure, why not?
And just little things like that. If he wouldn't have showed up in his cricket uniform, that they probably would even never even had that look.
It does seem to protect more of the top and not so much the boys, which seems like it would be the important part.
didn't really protect that one guy.
Yeah, I know. They got hit in the nuts multiple times with the thing on. It's like, well,
I've played cricket and I've worn those and I've been hit by a hard cricket ball there. And all it does is it just converts the impact into a just general overall sensation. instead of getting the small impact of the ball, it's you can have a lesser crush, but just on the whole general area. Yeah, so it still sucks. I mean, but if it takes it from a 10 out of 10 pain to a 8 out of 10 pain, you'll still take it.
Well, as long as you're not popping nuts, I think we're okay.
Yeah.
I don't even think about that.
Yeah, I think this movie says a whole lot about like the nature of man, and particularly, you know, what happens when societies break down, because then so do morals. And it turns into debauchery and chaos, which is what this movie is all about, you know? And I definitely think that Malcolm McDowell's character was evil in this one. He may have tried there in the middle, maybe, you know, was going for some kind of salvation. And I
don't think so. he was just manipulative the whole time.
Yeah,
maybe that's what I like about him. Fuck you all.
Manipulative the whole time.
He's my kind of guy.
Yeah, goes back to some MK Ultra experiments.
That's
stuff like that.
Sure.
Yeah. And I don't know if there was a whole lot of good people at all in this movie. Everybody kind of sucked.
Yeah. Even the Droogies, Dan, and the other one that turned into cops later and just couldn't wait.
Oh yeah.
To fuck with him because they knew he had no rights at that point because he was an ex-con.
Yeah, now I kind of wish he'd have gone postal on those guys.
Right. But,
you know, at that point he was still out of it.
Right.
But yeah, like everybody kind of sucked. And then like just the open raping and killing of people. I'm like, let's redeem this character. I'm like, let's not. Let's maybe remove him from the human species. That would be nice. but still a great movie. Beautifully shot. It was fucking weird, man. It is Stanley Kubrick's a weird dude. And I don't know how much everything really blended together. You know, you kind of have to interpret some of this movie. It wasn't real straightforward. But that's also part of what makes it great, man. I mean, the guy's an artist.
What did you guys think about the scenes when they were in the car and they were playing Hogs of the Road? It's basically running people off the side of the road, or almost the Death Race 2000 type of thing. Super, super cheesy, but don't y'all think he kind of filmed it that way by design a little bit?
I hope so. I thought that looked awesome the way it was done.
Yeah, and I like the costumes were all crazy. Sure. Like even the people that were like supposed to be normal were wearing ridiculous clothes.
Oh yeah, the girls in the record shop.
Yeah, 90-year-old woman with like blue hair.
Right.
That dude that was at his house with some like fuzzy Christmas sweater and a goofy belt up by his nipples. Yes. Everybody's wearing weird shit.
True. And the fake eyelashes just on one eye, I thought were a great touch.
Yeah,
that was cool, man. I like the design for all of those guys. That was pretty cool. But yeah, good movie, man. All right. Any final comments? You want to go scores?
Alex is fucking evil.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Plain and simple.
So are most of his fucking friends.
One guy, his name fit him.
Not a feel.
What was his Dim?
Dim. Oh yeah, poor Dim.
I don't think he had an actual line in the movie. He just repeated everybody else's shit. Yeah.
He did right. I'll feel no pain.
All right. Yeah. Lance, we know you're a 10, right?
Yep. 10 on 10. Yep.
Zim, what do you got?
It's hard to fault. I give it a 9.5.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Could have given it a 10 if it was called Cockwork Orange, but
yeah. I'm sure there's more somewhere.
It may as well have been. There's a whole lot of penis in this movie.
Yeah, I like what you said. I enjoyed, you know, like someone getting, you know, beaten to death with a giant penis is cool, but I really enjoyed the little dance he was doing with the giant cock. It was
right.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how the balls form into a little butt with a hole in the back.
Yeah.
And it all balanced. I bet you sit it down.
So, Lance, you said this is your favorite movie. Have you got one of those ornaments?
No, but I'm going to go on to Amazon as soon as we're done recording here and just to kind of see what they've got available.
Nice.
Get it as like a Christmas tree topper.
Why not?
Brian, what's your score?
Not my favorite Kubrick film, but it's definitely worth a 9.5.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah, I'll go with that. My inclination was to give it a 9, but I think 9.5 is fair. I don't get this movie as much as most people do. It's still slightly confusing to me. Maybe I should watch it a few more times. But yeah, still beautifully done. It is a work of art. This is A24 before they existed.
Ah, good way to put it.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on to Bruiser from 2000. This first watch for me.
Yeah, same here.
After years of being tread upon and cheated on, a man awakens to find his face has been replaced by a blank white mask. Yeah, that's
sort of a
statement.
I mean, yeah.
Director and writer is George A. Romero. Also known for O.J. Simpson, Juice on the Loose, and the music video Scream for Misfits.
Ah, yes, because that's what I think of when I think of George Romero.
And some zombie stuff.
Yeah. Juice on the Loose.
That's a great name. So when he directed the video Scream for the Misfits, the only payment he wanted was for them to appear in Bruiser along with two original songs.
There you go.
This was George A. Romero's first film after The Dark Half 8 years earlier. So he was taking some time off. Yeah. And I don't remember this one getting a whole lot of traction.
No. I love The Dark Half, though. I thought that was a great, even though they changed a couple of the characters in it, I thought it was a great film adaptation.
Yeah, but you don't hear about Bruiser too much. I didn't even realize what it was. Holy shit, this is a Romero film. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dim, what'd you think about Bruiser?
This is the one that out of all the films I picked that I've thought you guys are most likely to hate the most.
Oh, really? It, okay.
Because it but like it's Romero. I remembered it being really cool when it came out. But as you said about not knowing much about it, like, I was a big Misfits fan at the time, and the only reason I knew about it was because they were flogging it to death. Like, we're in a movie, you got to watch it, you got to watch
right,
it.
So right, right.
Without that advertising from them, like, I possibly would have never known about this film. I still enjoyed it, rewatching it the other day for the show, but it wasn't as great as, you know, I remembered it when I first watched it when it came out. still more to like about it. I think the guy's name, the guy from Fargo.
Yeah.
That played the boss.
I don't know his name.
He was so over the top obnoxious. I just found it hilarious every time he was on screen. And I don't know if that was intentional or not.
Oh, mm-hmm. Peter Stormare.
That's the one, yeah.
Oh, God, Stormare. He was phenomenal.
One of my favorite roles
I've ever seen him in.
He was fantastic. I didn't know he could talk that much.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was great. I thought he was so entertaining. And
right.
Tom Atkins was cool to see him in it as well.
No kidding.
Although
didn't expect that.
His character kind of it was strange because like the mask, it really just barely covered his face. And everyone that knew him was like, oh yeah, it's you. Oh, what are you doing? And then except for Tom Atkins, who's like the detective, and he's like, it could be anyone. Like, fuck.
So, you ever find out who it is, give me a call.
But like every single feature about them, except the tiny part of their face. But yeah, it was still cool. At times, I thought it probably could have been even simplified a bit. It's like just a guy putting on a mask and the mask sort of becomes him. It felt like it got a bit complicated for itself at times, and I still don't understand why sometimes there was paint on his face and sometimes there wasn't. But yeah. Fun little simple thing. I don't think it's if you didn't miss out on it, I don't think you're missing too much, but I still had fun with a lot of it. And yeah, but yeah, the boss, the Stormare, he stole the show. I thought that the lead actor, I don't know. I don't know. Out of all the actors that I don't know.
I thought he was a good everyman. He's a big actor. In the UK, he shows up in tons of British movies.
Yeah, I've seen him. What I've seen him in. He's like, oh, it's that guy. I've seen him in a shit ton of stuff. Brian, what'd you think?
This was a rewatch for me. I saw this movie when it first came out, so it's been a long time. The only thing I remember was the lady getting her head crushed by the train. That's the only thing I remember.
Which didn't really happen. It's just a dream sequence.
I enjoyed the rewatch. I think the reason why it didn't really catch on for people, I was reading, and I totally agree with it, George Romero said the marketing was wrong with it because they marketed it as a straight horror film, and he felt it was much more than that. Since it was a straight horror film, I guess it just went straight to DVD, kind of the DVD market. So it kind of missed the theater release. Yeah.
Mass audience, huh?
And I like the story, of this guy that's, he's just getting kicked around and used by everybody, and then he can't get his face back until he stands up for himself, and he just each person he's like standing up to, he's just building up his confidence.
Right.
And Zim, I agree with you. Peter Stormare, that guy is a highlight in any movie he shows up in.
Yeah.
And Tom Atkins, I know he's just playing a role that he's played 100 million times, the detective, and it is funny that he can't find this guy that everybody knows who he is. But I just like when Tom Atkins pops up in the movie, and some of the kills were pretty decent. Like I said, the most memorable one for me, not seeing this movie for over 20 years, was of course the head crush, which I remembered it being real happening. So, but overall, I thought it was a decent rewatch, and I think people should check it out. It's definitely not what you expect from George Romero.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Lance.
Yeah, well,
seen this one before, or is it a first watch?
Yeah, no, this was a first time watch for me, which is kind of unusual because I'm a big Romero mark typically, with the exception of the amusement park, which I think a lot of us didn't care for at all. And some people, for some reason, love. Didn't Tim have it on his top 10 or something?
Yeah, so you're saying Juice on the Loose is on your rotation?
No, I don't think I've seen that one, actually.
I got to watch that just for the name. That sounds amazing.
I know. And it was filmed way before any of the murder charges, so.
Oh, this wasn't about him.
And I was hoping it was him in the Bronco.
That's what I thought it was.
No, I think it was about like a documentary he did early on or something. But
I repeat, the Juice is on the Loose.
You guys remember he used to do them like commercials where he's like running through the airport.
Yeah. All right. So when this movie started out, I thought, okay, well, this is just going to be a standard, you know, falling down type movie, right? Where I could already see where it was going. It was so incredibly obvious what the trajectory of the story was going to be. Like, it's this, you know, meek little guy that gets taken advantage of by all these different people. Even just little microaggression type stuff against him, like the lady getting on the train, just stepping in front of him, that pisses him off enough that he wants to squeeze her head under the train. So I'm like, okay.
Got a little bit of Clockwork Orange in there.
A little bit. I'm like, okay, I can see where this is going. This is going to be like a falling down or something like that. But it, I don't know, man. For me, it kind of turned into something a little bit different. And, you know, I thought a little bit deeper, truly. I really do. I think that there were a lot of layers to this movie. And not just the layers of the mask over the, you know, the mask that moved with him over the face. But I like the fact that you've got a woman that he's with that's, you know, obviously incredibly gorgeous. You know, it's like, you know, this guy's such a loser. How did he end up with this woman? But then you realize that between, you know, his woman, the guy that was doing his financial advising for him, all these other people in his life, they've been just basically, you know, he started out probably with a ton of money, and that's probably and a lot of potential at this job with this. What is this bruiser? Is it like a magazine, or is it like an early TMZ type thing, or
looks like a Vogue?
Okay.
Something.
Okay, yeah. I gotcha. So yeah, I got the feeling that he started off as kind of like a rising star, right? So everybody jumped on him, and then they kind of sucked everything out of him. And so by the time we get to where we see this poor character, you know, he's in a loveless relationship. Granted, she's fine as hell. But she's over here yelling little shit at him like, turn off the line. I want to go back to sleep. You have to fucking get up and go to work. I still feel the light on me. You know, just nag, 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 nag about every little thing. And then he's fucking walking to the train station. It's like, how much more downtrodden can a poor guy get? And then he meets up with his quote unquote buddy. That's in the car that we find out later, you know, he basically paid for it because this guy's been stealing from him the whole time, his trusted financial advisor. And I have to say, man, I'm starting to question my financial advisor a little bit because I went and looked at my little stock portfolio that AJ and I had from some stuff we moved over from Target. And yeah, the market's gone way the fuck down here in America. I don't know what it's like in Australia, but I was like, holy shit, that 20% is a big loss over a year. Sure hope that trend doesn't continue.
That's everybody right now.
I know. I'm getting way off topic. Okay, so it was kind of interesting the way that everybody – okay, so then Stormare enters the picture, right? And we see that he's a bruiser, right? He like just basically mentally abuses and emotionally abuses all the people around him. He treats them like shit. Nobody likes him. When he leaves the room, they're shooting the finger at him and stuff like that. But, of course, no one has the courage to do that in front of him. And so, you know, you can kind of see where that's going. And then what's interesting is he has a party, and it's kind of like a all of his parties tend to be mandatory, Brian, for some reason. Like, I'm here to take your name down in case you leave early so we can dock your pay for it or whatever. But so he shows up at a party, and then it's kind of interesting the way he's kind of like simpatico with Stormare's wife, but his girlfriend and Stormare are kind of like the dirty animals. they're cheating on each other behind their back and stuff like that. So I thought that was a very interesting dynamic. And then the fact that she's into doing these masks, it's like, I don't know about you guys, but I've never been to a pool party where they're doing like latex masks in the back room. Kubrick probably has. That's probably
led to part of the Eyes Wide Shut shit right there.
Exactly. But I love that dynamic of, you know, how he was kind of simpatico with Stormare's wife. And she's, you know, basically divorcing him, and he's yelling shit like, you're not getting an inch of this house. I'd give you an inch of my cock before I'd give you, let you take an inch of this house, you fucking bitch. You know, like, this guy just, he's the bruiser, man. He abuses everybody. And, you know, of course, in the end, he gets what's coming to him, but it's a great buildup. I mean, there weren't a whole lot of great, you know, awesome, brutal kills. That would have made it an even better movie, but I really did enjoy the way that you know, she introduces him to the mask, and then whether this mask that moves with him is real or whether it's something that's in his mind, we really don't know. There are certain lines where people say, you know, your face looks different, but maybe he's not really wearing a mask. Maybe he just kind of like took that razor blade and was brutalizing his face or something.
Yeah.
That's what's so cool about this movie. You don't really know for sure what's going on in that respect, but you do know there's definitely changes going on to his face. And
there's a scene like early on when he first gets the mask on, and like he's looking in a mirror. I think he was at work.
Yes. And
it looks like a piece of it is not there.
It's missing, kind of like Phantom of the Opera style, right?
Yeah. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah. And then he looks again and it's all there.
Yeah. They never really touch on it again. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's pretty obvious that, you know, that mask isn't really physically there. He's doing something to his face to make himself look a little bit different. But then again, later on, you've got the police reports and the, you know, in the headline where it says, you know, who is this faceless person? So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I kind of like how Romero fucked around with that. I really enjoyed that angle of it. Now, as far as the last act of the third act of the movie, holy shit, man. It just goes batshit crazy, and I love it. And it's just like an old, you know, fucking giallo or like an old 80s horror movie. And then on top of all that, you know, people
when Misfits show up.
Yeah, it's amazing. The Misfits show up, for fuck's sake. Everybody's in costume. The cops are there. Nobody's listening to him until he finally pulls out his ID so people know he's a cop. And I don't know, man. It was it got a lot more out of this movie. I'm shocked I hadn't seen it before. I'm shocked that it's not more of a cult classic, but I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's I think it's got a good feel to it. It was an interesting movie. If you've never seen it, I think it's definitely worth a watch. You know, it's not going to be on my top movies or anything, but
Stormare stole the show, right? Like, what a
sneeze. For sure. Yeah, he's. I mean, you know, again, he's great in everything he does, but right. Yeah, he definitely stole the screen in every scene that he was in, and. Like the one that sticks out to me the most, aside from the girl getting run over by the train, which didn't actually happen, was at that pool party when this guy's wife is jerking him off.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I was like, man, how can you walk out, see that, and not lose your fucking mind, man?
Because he hadn't found his mask yet, man. Come on.
Yeah. I guess, but even a even a guy that's, you know, down in the dumps, man, I can mess with their wife. That's but, you know, he probably should have sniffed that out a long time ago, but she's probably hot enough to
he let it slide.
Yeah. Ignore a couple of red flags. And I kind of liked her death scene. She sort of had that coming.
That was awesome.
I like the end of it with the Misfits that popped out and they're doing their whole concert thing. I thought that was great. And then they take out Stormare the way he should have been took out. You know, I like it. So it was definitely worth a watch for me. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go scores on Bruiser. Zim, what do you think?
I'll give it a 7.5. It's
fair score.
Yeah, it's 6.5. Give an extra point for the Misfits. Give it 7.5.
But they had 2 songs. Brian, what do you think?
I think 7.5 is fair. I'll go with that.
Yeah, I like it. Lance?
I'll go 7.5 too, man. It's definitely a fun movie. It's I don't know, man. It probably could have been on a top 10 contender for the year that it came out. What was it, 2000? It's like 22 fucking years ago, right?
2002, I think. Okay. Maybe that was The Barber. No, maybe it was two. Might be getting that confused with The Barber. But one of them was 2000.
Yeah, I mean, was 2000. The Barber was 2002, I believe.
Okay. Either way, man, a lot of these people have really hung in there. Because, yeah, Tom Atkins is still a big name. Stormare is still a big name. Like you guys were saying, this actor's been in probably over 100 roles, wouldn't you say, Brian? I mean, I know he was in Lock, Stock, and 2 Smoking Barrels. He plays a lot of hoodlum-type characters, yeah. Doesn't he?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of the female actors I didn't really recognize too much from other stuff. Had you guys?
No, not at all.
They were incredibly hot.
I just recognize the main guy and then Peter Stormare and Tom Atkins, right? Really.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's your trifecta right there, right?
Yeah. I think so. I'm going to go 7.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think 7.5 is a pretty fair score. But yeah, I'm going to stick with the 7. I think it's, again, definitely worth watching if you've never seen it before. It may not be a must watch, but if you're a horror fan, it's a good one to have under your belt. All right. On to 2014. Creep. A young videographer answers an online ad for a one-day job in a remote town to record the last messages of a dying man. When he notices the man's odd behavior, he starts to question his intentions. Director is Patrick Bryce, also known for Creep 2 and Corporate Animals. Writers are Patrick Bryce with Mark Duplass. Since the movie was based on a series of conversations between Patrick Bryce and Mark Duplass, most of it was improvised. This led to a lot of scenes being shot, and as a result, the footage was screened in front of their peers. This eventually pushed the psychological black comedy into a psychological horror film after taking the advice of their friends. There's also footage of at least 3 other alternate endings.
Okay.
I'd like to see that. The first of a trilogy of Creep films, Creep 2, was released October 24, 2017, and the third installation is still in development. Creep. Zim, what'd you think about that one? Why'd you pick this one?
I like the sort of overall, like, sort of DIY sort of feel to it. Just,
you know,
basically a couple of guys just making a movie. Mm-hmm. I thought that the whole movie, especially the whole first interaction of the two, was just so tense. I felt like I was in that. I could sort of really relate to how that guy was feeling going to this person's house.
Yeah.
He's a bit fucking weird. He just keeps dialing up the weird, gets in the fucking bath.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Just the whole thing. It had me sort of hooked in.
But then every time he does something weird, it's like he'll come back and be like, "Oh no, come on, we're good, it's all right."
Or he'll remind you, "Remember, I'm dying of cancer."
Yeah.
So anything weird I ask for, this is my final message to my loved ones. So, you know, just go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
very manipulative. Interjecting
just enough normality to make it run for the hills, and you know. And I'm skip a bit to the ending. That's one of my favorite endings of any movie.
It's pretty great.
It just that final death scene that made me just squirm and shit myself. Like I really felt
I didn't see it coming.
No, it just made me just, I don't know, just, ooh, and like, I just felt my like asshole just shoot up to the back of my neck. It's just, oh,
very,
geez,
very visceral.
My only issue with that, I would have loved that to have been the end of the movie. You know, they threw in a bunch of extra scenes, which I get why they did it. And I know a lot of, you know, a lot of movies like to do that. But if that had ended there, jaws dropped, shit.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I thought it was really cool. And rewatching it the other day for the show, I still enjoyed it. Still felt that same level of tension watching it. And yeah, the guy's fucking weird, but it's really cool.
Have you seen the second one?
I have. I don't think it's as good as the first one, but there's some moments where it really just dials up that uncomfortable weirdness. Have you guys seen the second one?
Oh yeah,
I haven't seen it.
Right? Yeah,
not as good as the first one.
Yeah, I figured.
But what he does, that whole sort of, you know, now I'm gonna have a bath and you can film me in a bath. That sort of same point in the second one, he manages to just dial it up a few thousand notches with the uncomfortableness. So. It's worthy of a check it out.
All right, Brian, what'd you think about Creep?
I have a love-hate relationship with this movie. I love the whole aspect of, like Zim said, these two guys coming together and putting this thing together and just basically improvising most of it. I heard it was only like a 5-page outline they had. And everything else, it was just off the top of the head. And the other thing I love is Mark Duplass's character, how he goes from this kind of overly nice, because we all met these kind of guys, these overly nice people, you know, they're a little weird, but you know, you just kind of like, they're just overly nice and a little creepy. And then he ramps the creepy up a lot throughout the movie, you know, different levels to it. But my hate, I hate this guy, Aaron. This guy does not know how to read the room at all. There's so many times he needs to get the fuck out of there. I mean,
you sound like AJ right now when she was watching it.
The axe, they foreshadowed the axe early when he asked
very
him, did, when you seen the axe, did you imagine me killing you with it?
And I'm just like, okay. Question.
Yeah, I'm like, it's time to go. And then
he is getting paid, Brian, for being there. That is what he is a filmmaker who's trying to hit it big and make a paycheck here. Come
not
on.
Enough for me to film a guy having a tubby. No, that's not happening at all. And just, you know,
you tell that dude's uncomfortable the whole time.
Yeah, there's just little things throughout that I'm just like, why are you not picking up on this? Like when he mentions the restaurant and the pancakes, and then they actually make it to the restaurant and he completely forgets about the pancakes. And he's like, I thought you said they had good pancakes. He was like, oh, yeah, they do. Just like, get out of there, man. Get out of there. Get your stuff. Go. You already got the money. But with that being said, I think this is an excellent movie. The second one's not as good. I got high hopes for the third one. I think they can kind of bring it back with the third one. I think Mark Duplass is a fantastic actor. I've seen him in other things, and he's definitely got range to do different things. And I think the guy that played Aaron, the director, was it Patrick Bryce? I think he's a talented director, and I think my hat's off to him. I didn't like his character, but my hat's off to him for he did more things than, you know, just direct and act. You know, he did, you know, he was holding the camera for, you know, damn near the whole movie. So
yeah, sure.
Yeah, love hate with it, more so love than hate. But it's just more so, it's just, I think Aaron is a fucking stupid character that just can't see the signs of a crazy person.
Stupid people.
Definitely.
We need them in our horror movies.
Oh, yes, yeah. We do.
Maybe after he tries to break into your house, don't go meet him.
He tried to call the police, didn't he? Oh, yeah, there's really nothing we can do. He sent me a knife. Yeah, there's nothing we can do.
Lance, what'd you think?
It was creepy. Mark Duplass can definitely play a creep. I saw a lot of comedy in it, and I don't know if that's just because I can't separate Duplass from like The Morning Show and a lot of really comedic, you know, type shows and roles that he's done over the years. But I mean, the guy is he's a talented writer and director in his own right. I know he and his brother worked together on a lot of stuff, and he started out doing indie movies, and you know, they kind of graduated up. And this was a movie that I felt like, so this was 2014. He probably could have gotten a much huger budget to do something, but maybe he was trying to help this guy out, you know, because I don't, the Rice guy or whatever, I don't know if he had done a whole lot before this. You know, maybe they were. I'd like to know what their history is, Brian. Do you know?
I had a while ago, I don't know if it was a while ago or recently, heard a podcast. They were talking about this movie. I think Patrick Bryce's wife was Mark Duplass's nanny for his kids. And she was telling him how he was making a documentary. He saw the documentary, liked the documentary, and that's how they linked up.
Interesting. Oh, okay. See, okay, so that adds a lot more to the story, just knowing that. So, yeah, because, I mean, this thing could have been made for $20 and an iPhone, right?
I mean, yeah, and I guess when they talked, they found out they had, like, a lot of the same things were funny and had the same sense of humor and just kind of hit it off and was bouncing ideas off of each other. And here we go.
Two friends make a movie.
You know what? Everything you guys, you know, have said is spot on. It's, you know, super creepy. You really, really feel like you're in that situation, right? Like okay, let's see. So it starts out, okay, well, I'm driving and I'm real excited about this opportunity because I'm a young filmmaker and I'm getting paid a lot of money to show up and do this. And then the next thing you know, he shows up and, you know, knocks on the door and it takes the guy a little while to get there. And then, I mean, by the time you get to where you're learning about peach fuzz, and then, here's the thing. There's another layer to this movie, too, guys, because, yeah, the movie is titled Creep, and Duplass is like, I mean, look, if you just take this movie at face value, Duplass is the creep. But, I mean, this director was a little fucking creepy, too, because if you'll recall, Duplass looked at him right dead in the eye, really serious, and said, okay, at this point, I'm going to tell you something very private. I really need you to turn the camera off. I don't want you recording this next part. So he turns the camera off, but conveniently leaves the microphone on where you go into the peach fuzz raping of his wife story, right?
Well, he needed some sort of evidence in case something wild happens. So,
okay. So you're saying he's not quite as stupid after
that. He's already been doing weird shit before that.
He is stupid. Okay. I mean, even talking about the last scene. He didn't turn around because he's a good guy. I was like, no, he didn't turn around because he's fucking stupid.
Yeah, that was hard to swallow. I will say this, though. AJ did watch this movie with me when we were on vacation because it was on Netflix. It was easy to watch. And I will say that when the movie was over with and the credits were rolling, she did turn to me and she specifically said, "What the fuck did you just make me watch?" So I think the wife's score would be quite a bit lower than what mine's going to be. But I can see what these guys were trying to accomplish here. And I think that they did it. And I definitely love the low budget, the fact that these two guys obviously, you know, they formed a relationship here. I don't know where they're going to take the third one. Now, Creep 2, isn't that the one where he has a girl that's kind of a protege of some sort?
I only seen it once. I don't really remember.
Okay. I'm curious to see.
She's kind of into it.
All right. So if there's going to be a Creep 3, I'm curious to see where the fuck they can possibly go from here. I mean, did he really kill the guy? Obviously, he did, right? Because it was right there on film, and then he put it with all of his other DVDs of his other kills and stuff like that. But I don't know, the whole setup of how, you know, he thinks he's going to this guy's house and he's taken the time to be so careful about setting it all up that he's put the, all these or did he put those pieces of artwork up, or were they already there and he made up fake stories about them? What do you guys think?
See, that's the thing, because he goes by Joseph,
right?
But then he uses another name at the end. But the lady that calls him,
right,
calls him by just Joseph. So was
very strange, right?
Did he trust Aaron enough to use his real name, or was he lying about his real name?
We may never know. I mean, there's so much duplicity going on in this thing. It's hard to tell what, you know, what's real and what's not. I mean, we know for a fact that wasn't his house, right? It was definitely like an Airbnb that he rented.
Yeah, they said it was rented. So,
I mean, at some point, I don't know, man. I think it's kind of far-fetched that he would be able to get away with that many murders and have that many tapes or DVDs laying around, right? That's incredibly far-fetched. But I don't know, man. I mean, I guess he seemed like he was a pretty smart guy, how he kind of rope-a-doped you into the situation. But, yeah, like when the car keys came up missing, Brian, that would have – I definitely would have not have sat in and had a bunch of whiskeys with him, that's for sure. Although, I guess he – see, again, that's where I think the director was a creep too, because he drugged the guy, right? So he could – obviously it was so he could get the fuck out of there. But that – I don't know. To me, they were both a little bit creepy. That's what I got out of it. I might be the only one who got that out of it, but while I was watching it on this watch, I got a creep factor out of both of these guys. So I don't know.
So if you had to spend a weekend with one of them,
I don't think I would. Period. either one. I mean, Mark Duplass, man, he's a pretty big talent. He's done a lot of great stuff. So. I don't know, man. It's
yeah, but
it's
the second he starts getting in the bathtub, I'd have been like, all right.
Yeah, the tubby. Well, but then again, he reels you in with the cancer story.
I know,
story,
he does.
Man.
He gives you a good story for it.
I have a son-in-law that I love dearly that died of brain cancer. So, you know, I mean, that touches people's hearts. I mean, it's a tough call, man. And when that's your job and you're young and you're trying to make a name for yourself and you gotta have the money. And then, of course, you know, there was that other joke that Duplass pulled on him where he said, look inside your boot, buddy. There's a check. Yeah. How the fuck was he going to get a check in his boot? But the guy's, at that point, mind-fucked enough by him that he's believing it. And of course, he looks for it. Duplass is like, made you look. you know, it's just...
He's very convincing in how genuine he is.
Very convincing.
Yeah, and I think that adds that layer of, you know that... You know that some of it is lies, but you also know some of it has to be true. And even when the film's all done, you're still not 100% sure what was lies, what was truth. But you know it's definitely a mix.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I think for a movie that literally has basically only two people in it and was made for, I'm sure, almost nothing, that they made just because they wanted to make the movie, just for passion, it was a fun watch. I enjoyed it.
Well, and that's kind of why I think it was, you know, just a very small indie found footage thing that sort of caught fire, right?
Right.
And they caught something with it. And I don't know if they kept going with Creep 2. It souns like they didn't quite recapture it, but hopefully they'll come back again. But yeah, no, I mean, for a little found footage movie with two people in it, it's a pretty good movie, man. The writing was good. I like the conversation. It seemed real, you know?
Yes.
Like you could put yourself in the place.
Uncomfortably real.
Yeah. You could put yourself in the place of the director and see this guy who is very charming and nice, but also really weird and sketchy. And
I wonder, since they were kind of ad-libbing and coming off the top of the head, I wonder if there was any time that the director was kind of like, Mark Duplass, he's fucking weird.
Yeah. They might have.
Certainly possible.
They pulled that off really well, and I mean, you know, aside when you get towards the end and the guy's like, you know, sending him weird shit and like,
oh yeah,
trying to break into his house. It's like, all right, at that point, maybe cut off contact and push the police a little more. Yeah, we can't do anything. Are you serious? This guy's fucking weird. You might want to check him out. But I actually like the last few. I see what you're saying, where if they had ended it on the kill, it would have been more of a drop the mic kind of ending, right? And I think that that would have worked real great. But the whole time he was standing there right behind the guy, you know, pulling out the axe, and I'm like, how does he not hear any of this? He's 2 feet behind him. He can't turn around.
Like, it looked
like a pretty still day.
Yeah,
he's a good guy.
You can almost see the shadow.
That's why he's his favorite, because he's a good guy.
I like that they at least addressed that.
Right.
And then I did really like the final shot where he's putting the DVD up, and he's got like this just shelf full of videos with different names on them, and you're like, oh, this guy is
that's cool.
A serial killer.
I thought you were talking about when he scares himself.
the very final scene.
Yeah. That was pretty good too. they did some cheap ass jump scares in this movie.
There was a lot of comedy in here. Make no mistake. There was definitely a lot of comedy peppered in here.
Well, and I think that last little jump scare kind of contributes to that. You know what I mean? It was
I think so.
It was a good way to end it.
It ended on a fun note with that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It ended on a fun note where you know this guy is still charismatic and probably kind of fun to be around until he, you know, murders you with an axe.
Kills you.
Yeah. But no, I think this is a good one. They caught something special with this little bitty movie, and those are always really fun to watch. Because, you know, we've watched some that didn't.
Talking for Jennifer, or what the hell was it called, Brian?
That movie.
I hate to keep dogging on that one, but, you know.
I don't.
It's bad. That one was the same sort of thing, but with a bigger cast and probably a bigger budget. And they didn't catch anything special on that one. This one they did.
Maybe an STD.
Yeah. Scores. Zim, what do you think about Creep?
That's a 9.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yes. Yeah, I really like it. I think the simplicity of it, I think it's great. I don't have too many gripes with it. Maybe for a director, filmographer, he could have been a bit steadier with the camera at times. It did have that real found footage thing to it, but yeah, sort of found footage from someone who's skilled in that art, I would have, you know, liked it to be a bit less shaky at times. But it's a hard one to fault to me. Just very simple concept. You know, like basically two people in the whole movie, and yeah, for me, nailed it.
Yeah.
Can't go higher than a 9, but can't go less.
That works. Brian, is it a 9?
No, I gotta knock off a few points because of fucking Aaron's dumbass. yeah, I agree. Now that you're pointing it out, I do agree with you, Zim. If he's supposed to be a videographer, you know, he's a little shaky with the camera.
He's learning. He's in his early development stages.
Is that what they said?
Yeah, didn't you get that feeling from the very beginning? Like that's why he really needs the money. He's probably trying to work himself through fucking film school, dude.
Well, and the one that clicks to me is when the guy runs off in the woods and then he like turns the camera on himself and his face is just like, what the fuck?
He got all pissed off.
Yeah. I
tell it all from the expression.
I can't give it a 9. I'll give it an 8.
Nice.
That works. Lance?
I'll go 7, man. I'll go 7. It's yeah. I mean, it's not something. I think this is my third watch, so obviously I enjoy it. It's a nice short movie, right? It's like an hour and 23 minutes or something like that. So
yeah.
I mean, it's wonderful for what it is. It's something nice to put on in the background, and I think a 7's a nice, respectable score. So
can I quiz you on just 7?
Didn't like it quite as much as Bruiser, because I didn't think it was as deep. But what's your quiz?
I often have issues with 7s. A 7, it makes me very difficult to understand just where you feel it. It's a very fence-sitting score at times. All I want to know from you is, if you have to push it one way or the other, even down to like a 6.999 or a 7.001, which way would you push it?
It'd probably go to 7.5, just for Duplass. I'll tell you what, the one scene that would push me up to 7.5, and I actually let's go 7.25 just for this one scene. So you've got the part where he runs downstairs like he's angry, like he's offended and he's been caught and all this. And then he looks down at the bottom of the stairs and there's old Peach Fuzz standing at the doorway with his arms spread akimbo, grinding on the door. So there you go. 7.25 for Mark Duplass is grinding.
That shit was pretty funny. I'm gonna go 8 just because I really think that for such a movie that should have been nothing,
right,
they caught something special with it and it was really entertaining, and I like what they did with it, man. I'm happy.
All right, well, there you have it. Zim, patrons really do win at the Horror Returns, don't they?
I'm glad you all got something out of them. That's good.
All right. Well, before we move into the intro, man, tell all our listeners where we can find you and all of your magnanimous works. And where are you guys going to be gigging? Are you coming to the States anytime soon? Coming to Texas, maybe?
If you want to line it up, I'll be there. Gig and we'll get sorted out soon. But for now, to find all our music and videos, all our music's on Spotify and all the other major streaming things. Bistu, BISTU. All our videos and stuff on the Facebook page. New video, like I said, for Fuck, just put up last night, so go and check that out. Actually, in the new video for Fuck, there's a it's filmed in a car. There's someone dressed up as a horror icon lurking in the back seat. So if anyone watches it and checks it out and can identify this icon, send me a message and I'll send you a prize.
Nice.
And all right.
How do the
listeners? Not everyone, maybe just first couple of people that can identify who the horror icon is. I'll send a little prize to, no matter where you are.
Nice. And again, how do we reach out to you?
Just through the Bistu Facebook page is probably the easiest.
Yep, that would make sense. And be sure to like it, right?
Yes, please. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it, man. And as always, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to another episode of The Horror Returns. We would always love to hear your ideas. And if you would like to consider becoming a patron, that would be great. But it is in no way, form, or fashion required that you do so. Eventually, we're going to have some Patreon-exclusive shows. Brian and I have gotten through reviewing most of the Hannibal Season 1 episodes, but I'm very worried about putting the first one up, dude, because sometimes it seems like it's hard for us to get together. I feel like I owe you a big apology, Brian, because I should be more available, but unfortunately with a wife, kids, grandkids, it's just not always as doable as I would like, but
I get it. I have some of those, so
yeah.
Well, we're getting there. We're getting there. I think we only have two more episodes to go, so maybe it'll kick us in the butt a little bit if I go ahead and put that first one up. What do you think?
Let's see what happens.
All right. Well, I've been saying we're going to go to YouTube for 6 months, and that hasn't happened yet. So, yeah, let's believe in miracles, right?
Get it figured out.
One thing you guys can do, though, that no one has done in over a year is please rate us and review us on iTunes and or any of the other, you know, podcasting apps. Now, next week, we are going to be joined. We are going to have a guest next week. I'm pretty sure Sarah Snow. No relation to John that I'm aware of, but we can ask her. Damn. But I really
all those wanted, motherfuckers are related to each other.
You know what? I really wanted to have a woman's perspective for next week's movies, Brian, because they are what?
Sarah Snow and Heather.
Well, Howell. No. Heather. I think Heather's got other arrangements, so she will be on a future show, but. We're going to do the Don't Worry, Darling, but also I understand you said the Stepford Wives remake?
We already did the original one.
Okay. All right. So
Once Upon a Time.
Yes. Definitely something I'm looking forward to. Especially after having just listened to Nez talk about it, I really want to see Barbarian. Any of you guys had a chance to see that yet?
Nope, and I'm staying away from all reviews.
Yep, yeah, and I'm watch it. All right, I'll tell you what, guys, I'm going to try to bring a review for Barbarian, so Brian, I hope you watch it with me. If not, I won't do the review. I promise.
All right,
so Philip, until the whore returns again,
good night.